This morning's text is from the book of Romans. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us take a moment to go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for the ways that you have so freely made yourself available to us. Not only through this written word, not only through all of creation, not only through the image of God that is in each and every one of us, but most importantly through your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you now and forevermore. So we ask, O God, that you give us ears to hear, that you give us hearts to receive, and that our hearts are open to receiving your Holy Spirit so that we might go out and we might be the shining light in our communities so that all might know the love of you through us. So in Christ's name, I pray these things. Amen. So if you've paid attention to the news or seen any commercial at all, it feels like, you'll know that World Cup 2026 is in North America this year. There are 48 national teams that are participating in this event this year, all hoping to attain glory, the glory of becoming a World Cup winner. Unlike the Olympics, it only happens once every 4 years. So if you miss it this year, there's no actual guarantee that your nation will make it in 4 years. There's no guarantee that you will be a part of that national team that makes it in 4 years. Believe it or not, at this age, my age, 35, I would be an old soccer player, right? Folks are retiring much younger than I am from playing the sport. And because of injury and things like that, you just never know what's gonna happen in the next 4 years. And America is off to a great start, winning their first game 4-1. So hopes are high. And I know that we might not all appreciate soccer the same way. Some people might be thinking, like, why are we talking about the sports ball this morning? Right? But many people do. And I'm not immune to putting a lot of my hope in a sports team, but I've recently picked up this phrase, it's the hope that kills you. What I mean by that is the painful part isn't necessarily losing a game or missing out on a trophy. It's when you allow yourself to hope that your team can actually win it. It's the gap between your expectation and your reality that hurts us. It causes frustration, disappointment, and the size of your expectations can really match the level of hurt that you feel when things don't actually go your way. And that's not just sports, that's anything that you put your hope in this world. All of these things are liable to leave you disappointed. Everything and every person in this life is fallen and finite. Not just my favorite team. And listen, my favorite team is full of Christians. It's funny how a member of our church last week said that she wanted to raise her hands in worship But St. Stephen is not that kind of church. We don't necessarily raise our hands in worship. But apparently, if you take a look at these images, the Arsenal soccer players have no problem lifting their hands in worship of God before and after games. They've actually been nicknamed, these guys that you see on the screen, they've been nicknamed the Bible Brothers. So maybe that's why they won the Premier League, right? Because they pray and they praise God. But then again, that didn't really work when they competed for the Champions League. So maybe it doesn't actually work that way. And what's going to happen now that they are all on their respective national teams? How is everybody going to win the trophy because a few of the players pray? Being on God's side doesn't really guarantee a great performance. It doesn't grant certainty. It doesn't provide every answer. Spiritual experiences, signs, if I do X, God must do Y, it doesn't really work that way. I wish I hadn't gotten my hopes up. I just thought I could handle juggling one more thing. Hope keeps me hanging on longer than I should, hanging on to an abusive relationship or hanging on to this caretaker identity, thinking, you know, as long as they're okay, I'm okay. But am I really okay? I can handle a hard reality, but I can't handle this whiplash. My salary or my savings or my investments or my retirement isn't what I hoped it would be. I can work anywhere, but I was really kind of hoping for this right job or this right career path to work out. And I'll tell you, personally, as a parent, right, this education corridor, if you will, of Sardis Road, I gotta say, the idea that our kids need to go to the right school so that they can get the best quality education, otherwise they will fall behind in some way, that fact doesn't escape me. It also doesn't escape me that the right education is really expensive, right? It might cause one to lose hope over their children's future. As if we really could control that sort of thing anyway, or have control over anything at all. We have our routines, we run our risk assessments, but we really can't predict anything with any real certainty. And when that pain comes, we cannot avoid it. We can't avoid the conflict that comes from not meeting one another's expectations and numbing with substances, with food, with alcohol. It might work for a few hours, but that pain still comes back. The solutions have not been met. I wish I hadn't gotten my hopes up that a specific candidate, political party, or policy outcome would be as great as was promised. I wish I hadn't gotten my hopes up that if our side won, things would finally be okay, because there are good people on my side, right? And I've always been a good person. So why didn't God show up? What else can I put my hope in? The Church of England, they begin their funeral services with the minister coming into the church ahead of a casket, proclaiming, "I am the resurrection and the life." One Sunday morning, the disciples found an empty tomb, and it's been 2,000 years, and no one has ever been able to contradict that claim. While we were still hoping in anything and everything else in the world to save us, Christ died for us. Christ says, don't worry about it. Just accept it. And God is pouring out God's grace and saying, just accept it. Accept that Jesus died for you. That's justifying grace. It puts you back in the right place. You have a new status. You have a new family. You have a new future. You have been justified. And when we stop trusting in everything else for our daily salvation and we have faith in the justification of God, then there is peace. Because we serve a God who never changes. God was loving in the beginning and is loving now. God was faithful in the beginning and is faithful now. You can always trust God. Even though you aren't the person you used to be, God still is. Even though you don't live where you used to live, God is still present. Even though you're older now and your problems are different now, God is still faithful. So trust in a faithful God produces unwavering hope. It doesn't mean that we won't suffer. When we are at peace with God, though, we can begin to live into the kingdom of God. But when we are not at peace with God, the kingdom of God is not possible for us. We cannot bless the poor if we don't trust in Christ that we have enough. So we hoard things for ourselves. We cannot love our enemies if we don't trust that God will sustain us. So instead, we feel like we have to dominate them. We cannot love our neighbor if we don't trust that God is the judge, so we become judge and we judge them instead. Peace with God in the present brings hope for the future. CMC Rehab is full of hope. Right, John? Our very own Reverend Dr. John Blizzard, he told me this recently. In addition to being our minister of music and St. Stephen's very own stand-up comedian, he is also a hospital chaplain, if you didn't know. And he said that those folks, they've gone through the fire at CMC Maine. Because when you're admitted to rehab, the worst of it is over, and now they have hope. And I thought, let me write that down. That might be good for a sermon. And once they have suffered through the trauma that brought them to CMC Maine, and they leave with hope. Paul says it this way: suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And if that's true of CMC Rehab, how much more is that true for the kingdom of God? Paul says hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Now, here's what I don't want you to hear. I don't want you to hear that God wants you to suffer. On the contrary, God wants us to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. People might try to use that against us. Christianity is all about suffering, being mopey and whatnot. They told the slaves that it was God's will that they should suffer. Abusers tell their victims that it's God's will that they should suffer. That's not what I want you to hear. What I'm saying is suffering is normal. It is unavoidable in this life. So when suffering does occur, God has promised to grant us peace, and from that suffering to produce hope. So there's peace, endurance, grace, hope, love, all these promises of God in just 9 verses in the Bible. What a God. What a Savior. We have so much to boast in. Most importantly, we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. We don't boast like others boast. We don't boast in things that are passing away. The excitement from a new job promotion or the new item to buy or the fancy trip we get to go on. All of these things fade away over time. It's nice while it lasts, but it gets old. We can't boast in ourselves because if we were really to scrutinize ourselves, if we were really to look at ourselves closely, just do a little bit of digging, we will find that there are shortcomings within ourselves. So we boast in the one who is eternal. We give God the glory because only God deserves the glory. But we get to boast in God's glory. Just like we did, we said hallelujah, amen, because we don't boast about ourselves. We boast about the good work that God is doing. So it's not like we don't get to boast. We just get to boast in the things that are true. All boasting comes with a change in behavior. Confidence in the way that we move and in the tone that we speak. That's also true of when we boast in the glory of God. We can even embrace suffering because we can never be separated from God. As Paul says in Romans 8, 38 and 39, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we boast. We boast in the glory of God by participating in God's glory. Through sanctifying grace, God transforms us into the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. So we begin to act like Christ. And when we act like Christ, we also begin to suffer like Christ. And that suffering builds up our endurance for suffering, which in turn leads to character and then hope. So we do without so others can have. We pay more for clothes and so that Bangladeshi workers can be safe. We pay more for food that is grown humanely and sustainably. We carpool or use public transportation to relieve congestion and pollution. We raise awareness of the pain of our brothers and sisters so we get up and do something about it. We acknowledge our privilege, yours and mine, and we actively work to dismantle it. We boast by illuminating the love and grace of God in the world. Not because we think that we can heal all of the world's problems, but just because it gives the world a glimmer of hope. It gives them an example of what the kingdom of God will look like, and it gives the world hope. Today is a special day, and by special I mean set apart, because it's a very difficult day. June 14th, 1940 was the day the Auschwitz concentration camp received its first prisoners. We've all heard of the untold suffering that happened in that concentration camp. And about 8 months after it was opened, a man named Maximilian Kolbe was arrested for providing shelter to refugees from Poland. I think we have a picture of him. One day, a man from his barracks vanished. They thought he had escaped. And so, as they were accustomed to doing, the Nazis would punish 10 prisoners for every one who escaped. And one of the men who was selected to be punished cried out and lamented for his family, and so Kolbe volunteered to take his place. The 10 men were taken to a prison to be starved to death. And while in prison, Kolbe led them in songs and prayer. And after 3 weeks of dehydration and starvation, only Kolbe and 3 other men were still alive. And so finally he was murdered with an injection. We boast by illuminating the love and grace of God, because God was faithful enough to die for us. So do we still suffer? Sure. But in God, suffering does not deny the reality of hope. When you realize that no matter what you've gone through, it does not separate you from the greatest blessing, then you can find hope. And I know it sounds backwards. Like I mentioned earlier, there's so many commercials right now around the World Cup, but all of those commercials are inviting you to accept some level of comfort. They're inviting you to avoid all suffering if possible, except it's just not possible. It sounds backwards, but through our suffering, the kingdom of God grows. Who needs corruption when there's more to this life than just this life? Who needs more when God has blessed us with every spiritual gift in the heavenly places? Who needs belonging when God destined us for adoption as his children? Who needs the chaos of this world when boasting in our hope brings peace in God? Peace, endurance, grace, hope, love. We receive these things according to the good pleasure of God's will. And so our hope, just like our joy, is not circumstantial. It's not based on the current context of our lives. We have so many stories of hope that come from our treasure sale. Opportunities where we have shared a glimmer of God's kingdom with the world. You might think we're just selling stuff, but we're also creating a space where God will move. We've seen our members' hearts move toward generosity for our neighbors. Partners in the faith, like a church who were looking for a keyboard so that they could lead worship, finding one at our treasure sale, and the folks at our treasure sale having such an open heart for what God is doing that they gave it away for free. And not just that, that the church that responded, that received this gift, they responded by boasting in God. They said, "Let's take this city by storm for the kingdom of heaven." Not just that, there's opportunities where not a clergy or a Stephen minister is present, and just members of our church stepping up to meet with our neighbors who come to the sale, not really looking for items, but looking for hope, looking for a word from God. And just regular members sitting with them for hours to share the good news of God. Or our friends who are looking for an AA meeting, looking for hope, looking for freedom, and our church providing space for our own AA meetings, but also helping them along their journey to find where they need to be so that they can find the help that they need. It's the simple things. The things that we feel like are obstacles to where we're actually going and what we're actually doing. It's taking time to share those glimmers of hope with our neighbors. And as we build and we grow on these small, simple occasions, God is building up our endurance to handle more and more of the difficulties of this life so that they don't even appear as difficulties anymore. So that we have endured so much that when we come across any difficulty in life, we have the character and we have the hope of God to receive it and say, "Thy will be done, now and forevermore." Because God has always loved us. Because God has always been faithful, and because with God, all things are possible. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the blessing of your word. That I might have an opportunity to lift up your truth and to boast in its goodness. Not that I, the preacher, has anything to boast about, but that your word is just so good, and that your word is just so fulfilling, and that you, O God, are so inviting, that you have invited all of us to boast in your glory. So God, we pray that your Holy Spirit is with us, because the idea of suffering is scary. The idea of suffering is so contrary to anything else that we would hope for ourselves. And so, God, we ask that your Spirit meets with us and allows us to build that endurance so that we can say, come what may, we will trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that we will have the peace of Christ that allows us to sleep through the storm. So God, I ask that you meet us wherever we are this morning. And that you allow your Holy Spirit to do a work that only you can do. To transform us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. So that we might all be a glimmer of hope to a world that is in so desperate need of hope. Allow us to be what we could not be on our own. And give us hope and joy forevermore. It's in Christ's name we pray all these things. Amen.